This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
There are hundreds of thousands of people in prison today in this country. And do you know why they're there? You may think it's because they wanted to take something that belonged to somebody else, or they wanted to harm somebody else, or they wanted to do something that was otherwise illegal. That's not why they're there. The reason why they are there is they were trying to get some satisfaction in life in a place that you're not supposed to get it. If they went out and they robbed somebody, what were they trying to do? They were trying to get enough money to get some satisfaction for themselves. Isn't that right? If they were selling drugs or taking drugs, what were they doing? Trying to get some satisfaction for themselves. If they beat up on somebody, what were they trying to do? Think about it for a moment. How many of us here have ever felt the urge, I would just feel so satisfied if I could just punch this person's face in just right now? You ever felt that urge? Uh-huh. Amen. What are they trying to do? Get some satisfaction. And the problem is, if you try to get satisfaction in life from the wrong place, not only does it not work, it gets you into trouble. And so what Jesus is telling us today is how to get satisfaction in life. You see, most of us throughout our lives have been misdirected as far as trying to get some satisfaction. I remember there was a song back in the 60s, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. Well, that's what a lot of people in our world are saying right now, even though they don't know it. The problem is they've been trying to get satisfaction in life in all the wrong places. It has not worked. They are not satisfied, and they don't even know what's wrong. I mean, think of some of the things that we try to get into to get some satisfaction. How many of you like being comfortable? Comfortable. Amen. When I leave here on Sunday and I go home, I get in my easy chair and get comfortable. And you know what? For me, at least for a moment, that's satisfaction. Amen. But you know what happens to me? Now, I have to tell you, it's because of my chair. My chair is an old chair. And after I sit in it for a while, it starts getting hard. You know what? I mean, you know, on the bottom of my legs and everything, it starts getting uncomfortable. So even though for a little while I got some comfort and some satisfaction out of it, after a while you don't get any comfort anymore. It doesn't last. How many of you have ever said this? You know, I would be all right if I just had some more money. If I just had the amount of money that I need to pay my bills and have some over, I would just be all right. Anybody? Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you right now have more money coming in than you ever had coming in before in your life? Has that given you more satisfaction because you have more money? Or are you still complaining about not having enough money? And so money is not the thing that's going to give you satisfaction in life. I remember one of the things that I was looking for when I was growing up, when I was like in junior high school and stuff, I used to daydream about it. I used to think how wonderful it was going to be to have access on a daily basis to sex. I thought, man, I mean, once you get to that point in your life, can nobody deny you satisfaction? Amen? But guess what? You got people running around, jumping in and out of beds on a daily basis, and they're not satisfied. That will not satisfy you. You see, God gave that for a particular purpose, and when you get it out of order, and when you get it out of its proper place, which is as a bonding agent for marriage, when you get it out of place, it doesn't work for you. It just gets a momentary thing, like me sitting in my chair. Some of us think that getting the right job, having prestige, getting the right car, getting the right house, even marrying the right person. These things will give us satisfaction. And what you find out is, once you get it, it still doesn't satisfy. One woman said this: when I got what I wanted, it wasn't what I wanted. You see, you get it and you find out it doesn't really satisfy me. And so Jesus said, there's another way. You need to know that you will never find satisfaction in your life in all these things that you've been looking to, in all of these situations you've been trying to get into. You need something far beyond that. Look at what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. This is Jesus' prescription for how to get satisfaction in life. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What's he saying? They shall be satisfied. I remember when I was visiting Europe, I was in Rome, and it was the hottest day of the summer. Well, man, I was out in that heat, and you know what I wanted more than anything else in the world? You know what I needed to satisfy me? I needed a glass of cold water. And all over the city of Rome, they have these fountains that you can drink from. So, man, I ran up to a fountain, putting my face down, got myself a mouthful of water. And guess what? It was warm. I drank it. I drank a lot of it. But you know what? I was not satisfied. It did not help me to get any satisfaction at all. I mean, I would drink and drink, and then I almost threw the stuff up because it was filling me, but it wasn't satisfying me. And that's the way so many of us are. When we focus on the wrong thing, we can get a lot of it, but it doesn't satisfy. Jesus said, you got to get the right thing. If cold water is what you need, nothing else will do. And so Jesus said, the thing that's going to satisfy you, it's when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let me tell you what the first step to satisfaction is. You need to recognize what it is you're hungering for. A lot of people have hungers and thirsts in their lives, but they don't really realize what it is that they're hungering after. And that's why they go around from person to person, trying to find satisfaction in somebody else's bed. That's why they go from job to job, trying to make a little bit more money, gain a little bit more prestige, because they don't know what it is they're looking for. You need to know what it is you're really hungering for. And Jesus says, it's when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, here's the deal. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Jesus said, when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, what you're really hungering for is for God himself. Amen? The scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. So Jesus says, you hunger and thirst after righteousness. What you're really looking for is for God. Hebrews 12, 14 says this: pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. You see, if you don't have righteousness operating in your life, you're going to miss out on God. And God is the source of all happiness. God is the source of all satisfaction. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Look at how God operates in our lives. Deuteronomy 8, 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, when I am hungering to be satisfied, when I am thirsting after something that will satisfy me in life, what I'm really hungering and thirsting for is the presence of God in my life. And the scripture says, that's why God makes me hunger. That's why he allows me to get that hunger within me. There was a man named Pascal who said this: God has created us with a God-shaped vacuum inside of us that nothing else can fill. If you don't get filled up with God, nothing can fill that space inside of you. You will never be satisfied. And God says, I designed it that way. When you get that spiritual hunger that says, I need something else in my life. You know, I've got all my material needs met. I've got a roof over my head. I've got a car to drive. I can even put gas in it most of the time. I've got all the food I need. I've got friends. I've got a husband. I've got a wife. I've got children. And yet there is still something that's missing in my life. Jesus said, bottom line, the one you're looking for is God. And that's why you feel the way you feel. Look at John chapter 7. Gospel of John chapter 7. Verse 37 through 39. Gospel of John chapter 7. Starting with verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Man, do you see what he's saying there? Jesus said, God created you to be thirsty. Why do you get thirsty? You ever physically thirsty? Anybody here? Ever really get thirsty? Now, what is your body telling you when you get thirsty? It's telling you you need some liquid, amen? It's telling you you need to go get a drink of the liquid that your body needs in order to satisfy. Well, God created us with a spiritual thirst. And when we have that spiritual thirst, you know what our spiritual being is telling us? We need to get a drink of living water. Hallelujah. We need to get a drink that comes only from being in touch with God by His Spirit. That's the only way that thirst can be satisfied. Nothing else you can do in life, no matter how much you make on your job, no matter how many good friends you have, no matter, man, how many girlfriends you have, it won't matter. It will not touch that place that can only be served when we take a drink of living water. You know what the next thing we need to do in order to have satisfaction in life? After we recognize what it is we're really hungering and thirsting after, we got to stir up our hunger and our thirst for righteousness. Now see, if I were to pick a poll, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this, but if I were to take a poll today and say, how many of us here could truthfully say that we hunger and thirst for righteousness, I wonder how many of us could truthfully raise our hands. How many of us really have that driving hunger? I mean, have you ever really been hungry? I mean, I don't mean a Big Mac attack. I mean hungry, where you haven't had food for days, and it's gnawing at you, and all you can think about is, I want something to eat. Ever been hungry like that? How many of us have that kind of hunger and that kind of thirst for righteousness? You see, that does not come naturally. That does not come automatically. Even as a Christian, it's something that needs to be stirred up. If you watch commercials on TV and you see a commercial for a restaurant, what do they show you most of the time on that commercial for a restaurant? They'll show you a big plate steaming with whatever it is that they're trying to sell. Amen. And it looks good. You can look at it on the screen and you can almost smell it. Isn't that right? That's their intention, isn't it? They want you to look at that thing and get a vision, get a desire. They're trying to stir your hunger up. How many of us have ever been watching a commercial on television and they showed something like that and we looked at it and it stirred us up and we said, I got to go get something to eat right now. Amen. In fact, I want some of that that they're showing. See, that's the whole purpose of it. They realize that in order for our hunger and our thirst to be stirred up, we need to have a vision of what it's going to be like to have what it is they're trying to sell. And so if we want to have our hunger and our thirst stirred up for righteousness, we need to start thinking about what it's going to be like when we're walking in the righteousness of God. Start thinking about, how is that going to taste when I'm walking righteously before the Lord? How is that going to smell? How is that going to feel when I put it into my spiritual mouth? We need to be thinking about the benefits of righteousness. The benefits of a righteous lifestyle. Let's just take a quick trip and talk about the benefits of a righteous lifestyle, because that's what we need to focus on if we're going to stir up our hunger and our thirst for righteousness. Psalm 16:11 says this: "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." You want to have pleasure in life? You really want to enjoy your life? Guess what? When you walk in righteousness before the God, he says, "In my presence, there are pleasures forevermore." Oh, hallelujah. Think about it. When you're walking in the righteousness of God, you can have pleasure overflowing in your life, and you don't have to worry about getting arrested or having a disease. Isn't that great? God says, "With me, there are pleasures. There is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore." So the second thing is protection. Look at Proverbs 16:7. "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Any of us here have somebody that doesn't like you? Come on. Don't look around the room now. Amen. Yeah, most of us have somebody that doesn't like us. You know what God promises? When our ways please him, he will make even that person that doesn't like us to be at peace with us. Now, man, that's powerful, isn't it? You think you might be happier knowing that the person that doesn't like you, even if they want to, they can't mess up your reputation by talking about you behind your back. Even if they want to, they can't stop you getting what God wants you to have, no matter how hard they try. They may be your boss trying to keep you from getting promoted, from getting ahead. But guess what? If God is on your side, if God be for you, what? Who can be against you? Amen? See, you got God's protection working for you when you're walking in righteousness. Look at Psalm 91, starting with verse 9. "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Praise God. You know, I've shared with you how much that verse means to me. Every time I get on an airplane, you know what? That verse is on my lips. Amen? Hallelujah. "He will give his angels charge over me, and they will bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone." And Lord, there's some big stones down there to keep this airplane in the air. Amen. See, I've got the protection of the Lord when I walk in righteousness. I don't have to fear. When we walk in the righteousness of Christ, he says we will have his prosperity. Go over to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Man, did you see it? When we live a righteous lifestyle, when we live a life where we are keeping his commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in his sight, do you see the promise that he makes? Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Psalm 84:11 says this: "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." when you are living a righteous lifestyle, when you are hungry and thirsting after righteousness, God says there is no good thing that I will hold back from you. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. Here's the next thing that is a benefit of the righteous lifestyle. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we walk in righteousness before God, we will have His power operating in our lives. You ever find yourself doing something you don't want to do? Amen. Ever find yourself saying, man, I know this is detrimental to me, and yet I keep coming back to it over and over again. I keep saying that same thing, even though I know it's going to cause an argument, and it's going to take a week for me to get back on the right foot with my husband, my wife, my girlfriend, my boyfriend. Why do I keep doing it? You know what you need? You need power. You don't have the power in yourself to change the way you behave. But guess what? God says when you walk in righteousness, I'll give you the power that you need. In fact, I'll give you so much power that here's what will happen. If you will draw near to me and submit to me, he says in James 4:7, if you will just come to me and walk in righteousness and submit yourself to me, you can resist the devil and know that he will flee from you. And then, anybody want peace? Anybody want peace? I don't know about you. Yes, I do. I know about you. You're just like me. There have been times in your life when you have spent days worrying, in anxiety, fearful over some circumstance in your life. A lot of the time it has to do with money. A lot of the time it has to do with a relationship. And the word says that when we are walking in righteousness, we can learn to trust God in such a way that we know that we need not be afraid of evil tidings. When the phone rings, you don't have to jump wondering what it's going to say. In fact, look at this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. I love this. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Isn't that great? You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to lose sleep. You don't have to wonder what somebody's trying to do to you. God will be your confidence when you walk in a righteous lifestyle before Him. Well, what does it take to walk in that lifestyle? How many of you have ever been hungry? I mean, you know, you were really hungry, and it was mealtime, and so you went and got a bag of potato chips and a Coke, or maybe a hot dog or something like that, instead of taking the time to make yourself a good meal, especially when you were single. Anybody did that? Amen. In other words, even though you were hungry, even though your body needed nutrition, what did you go for? Junk food. Isn't that right? Junk food. Now, what's junk food? Junk food is something that can taste good, can fill you up, but it does not supply the nutrients that your body needs. Amen? Many of us have been used to eating spiritual junk food. That's what we've been doing most of our lives. We've been eating spiritual junk food. When we had that desire in us for something and we weren't quite sure what it was, that's when we would go out and try to find somebody to spend the night with. Go out and try to get something at the store. Anybody shop till you drop when you feel bad? Amen. You see, when we do that kind of stuff, go out and buy something to make ourselves feel better. Go out and try to have a relationship with somebody to make ourselves feel better. That's junk food spiritually. It's trying to take the place of what it is we really need. And if we're going to be able to get the satisfaction in life that God made us to have, we're going to have to make up our minds to lay off the junk food. Now that's hard, isn't it? And by the way, y'all, pizza is not junk food. Pizza is real nutritious. Amen. So I'm going to keep on having my pizza. Amen. But you see, if you're going to get the right nutrition for your spiritual being, you're going to have to make up your mind to give up the junk food. It takes a commitment. It takes saying, this stuff tastes good to me. I like it. I want it sometimes, but I have made up my mind that instead of going for the easy junk, I'm going to go after that which will really satisfy me. I'm going to go after God. Junk food. How many of us wish we had more time to spend with God every day? How many of us watch at least an hour of TV every day? Same folks. Now, what is that TV in terms of giving us satisfaction? Junk food. Amen? It's junk food. If we really want to have the satisfaction that can only come by hungering and thirsting after righteousness, hungering and thirsting after a personal relationship with God, is not going to come in front of the tube. You see, that's the kind of choice that we have to make if we're really serious about being satisfied, truly satisfied. You know how it is with junk food? When you're eating it, you get some satisfaction. Isn't that right? Because it tastes good to you. And I tell you, you know, you drink a Coke or something like that, and it makes you feel not thirsty for that moment. But when you eat real food, it takes a little while for the benefits to show up. Amen? It takes a little while for the benefits to show up. And so you've got to have the faith to hang in there saying, I'm going to continue to commit myself to seeking God, even though right now, I sure would like some junk food. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord of hosts. You want some real food in your life? You get the word. Amen? You get God's word and start getting his word into you. That's nutrition. As you begin to stir up your hunger and thirst for righteousness, God will begin to satisfy you through his word. The sincere milk of the word. That's what will bring satisfaction. Matthew 6:33. If you want to be satisfied, here's what you need to do. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need to satisfy you in life will be added to you.